Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 26. Janmaisvarya Shuta Sri Bir Edhamana Madakpuman Naivarhat Yabhimahutam Vai Tvamakinchana Gocharam. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Purport. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency. But there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely 1, high parentage, 2, good wealth, 3, high education, and 4, attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever, not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to become more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. Possessing these four material opulences tends to make a person intoxicated. By possessing them, tends to make them very proud. So then he's in illusion about his actual situation. A person who drinks wine gets intoxicated and thinks all kinds of crazy things, and they think he's flying. And he thinks that his high is permanent, he'll always be in this the I forever state. But actually it will come down. And life will be miserable, you'll have a hangover, and the dreams will be gone. So if a person, similarly, if a person has these material opulences, it won't last forever. It lasts for a short lifetime. And then a person has to take an ex-body, probably not in a materially advanced situation, if he's led this life in illusion and intoxication and ignorance, then these material opulences have been a curse on him. So it is better to be a kinchana, to be materially exhausted and without these things. People who have these things don't realize that everything is coming from God. They think that it's from their own family or become independently beautiful and so forth. Whereas actually they're just gifts of God for their past pious activities. They should be grateful for them, but not think that they're without God's grace. Prabhupada used to tell a story about communist propaganda in the communist countries, that the poor people would go to the church and pray to God, "Oh God, give us this day our daily bread." And then when they came out of church, they would meet the communist authorities who would say to them, "So you've been praying for bread?" "Yes." "Did you get it?" "No." "Then here, take bread from us." And they would give them loads of bread from trucks. And then they would challenge them, "So who is better, you're God or are we communists?" And the poor ignorant people would say, "You are better." They didn't have knowledge that the communist friend or rascal is actually not the producer of the bread. They're given from God in the form of grains, which they then manufacture or bake in their bakeries, but everything actually comes from God and belongs to Him. If you ask a carpenter to make you some piece of furniture, it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to you, the person who supply the materials. So you should live in this way, understanding that everything belongs to God and not to us. So having condemned intoxication and pride over having these material things, nevertheless, they can be assets if you use them in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada mentions how America is such a wealthy land and how he came here to preach and engaged all the American boys and girls in Krishna consciousness, and then they used their material assets, all of these things here, like parentage, good wealth, high education, attractive beauty, in the service of Krishna. One example of how they did it was to go back to India with Prabhupada and dance and chant in front of the Indians. And the Indians were so amazed and impressed that the Americans have taken this up, because they were trying to follow that materialistic culture. But then they could see, oh, this is something worth following. This is the thing. It's our own culture. So they were impressed not just by the fact that the Americans were pious and spiritually advanced, but by the fact that they were Americans dancing white elephants. So the verse should be understood in this way, that although these things are all zeros, they can be used just the way a zero, if you put a one in front of it, it becomes 10, 2 zeros becomes 100, 3 zeros becomes 1,000, and so forth. All the material assets used in the service of Krishna can be very beneficial, but they're very dangerous. So in India, especially, people take to the akinchan of life to avoid them, like Prabhupada's Godbrother Akinchanadas Babaji. He used to wander around Vrindavan wearing just the Babaji's dress, not even doing preaching, just making sweet bhajans, walking barefoot, with no possessions. And there are many persons like that who live homeless, depending on Krishna and the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the mercy of the pious people of India to get by, keep body and soul together. But they're not interested in making material progress, getting an education. The devotee should be cautious about these things, at least attachment to these things, his parentage, his money, his high education, his bodily beauty. In the purport, Prabhupada says that a person who has these things, or let us qualify it and say a person who is intoxicated by these things, cannot really chant with feeling. We read in the previous verse that Krishna sometimes puts a devotee into danger because in that position he can be attached to the Lord in helplessness, but the calamities come, said King Kunti, because when the calamities come, we think of you, and by thinking of you, that means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So a person who is not in that position, who is not aware of death, who is not in a helpless condition, he may occasionally chant very interesting sentences in this purport about the holy name, the power of the holy name, that once uttered, it can save a person from more sins than he could possibly commit. This is the power of uttering the holy name. There's not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances also. There are 10 offenses in chanting the holy name. We have to chant them with quality, not just quantity. And so the quality can come better when one is not puffed up materially, or trying, putting a lot of energy into making material progress. So I make the same point that if you have these things already, it's not necessarily bad, but you should be akinchan, you should be materially exhausted, you shouldn't be attached to them, you should actively use them up in Krishna's service. Think, oh, Krishna has given me these things, the advantages of reaching Krishna consciousness. And as far as your chanting is concerned, you should not be a person who is on the path of material progress, or you should be materially exhausted. You've had enough. Now I want Krishna. People are sometimes afraid of these statements when they read them. They think if I become a Vaishnava, I'll become poverty stricken. Indians think it's better to become a devotee of Shiva, because Shiva's devotees get material rewards. The Vaishnavas seem to lose their material assets. First of all, that's not necessarily a fact. Many Vaishnavas have more than bestowed with material benefits. Kings and Maharajas and beautiful saintly persons. But even if to some degree it's true that Krishna takes things away from the Vaishnavas, as he says he does. He says, when someone becomes my special object of favor, then I take away his possessions so that he becomes bereft, and his parents and loved ones, they don't care for him anymore. That's the verse that was very important in Prabhupada's life, because he saw it happen to him and he welcomed it. He laughed and he saw his material assets diminishing. Now I'll go for Krishna. He literally became a poor man, dispossessed of family, dispossessed of his lucrative business. He said, as the one side went down, the other side came up. As the material side went down, the spiritual side came up. So, we don't take the verse in too literal a way that it has to be zero, but one has to always feel zero. And understand that whatever I have, it comes from Krishna. And let me not make a big effort to be on the quote path of material progress. I'm not on that path. Trying, another important word. He's on the path of material progress. He's trying to improve himself materially. Don't do that. Be on the spiritual path. Try to chant helplessly. Try to be a devotee. Put your efforts and energy into that. Don't try to improve yourself. It's very dangerous. You become intoxicated by your wealth, and it'll be very hard for you to be a chanter, or for you to be approachable by the devotees. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as falling of temperature is a good sign. There's a story that a rich lady had a little fever, and she asked the doctor to come. Her husband brought the doctor, and he took her temperature. It was 100 degrees. But while he was there, the husband said, "Oh, would you also look at the maid servant in the house? She's got a fever also." The doctor took her temperature, and it was 102. So the rich lady of the house became angry and said, "How is this, that my maidservant has a higher temperature than I do? I should have the highest temperature." A great foolishness for thinking it's better to have a high temperature. We should decrease the material fever. There's such a great fever you see on the television. New cars, get the new car. Get this, get that. Very feverish mentalities for progress. Invest your money, increase your money. Go to the best school. Increase your beauty cosmetically. This fever should be stopped. But all the world is pursuing it, perhaps following America, the leader. Or maybe not the leader, but one of the leaders, exemplars in material fever. And pompousness and complacency spiritually, where they even equate spiritual progress with material progress. That's especially the position of some of these television evangelists. You say that if you worship Jesus, you'll do better in business. If they said that if you worship Jesus, you'll become a pensioner, people would turn off the television set or not send in money to the evangelist. But he promises them that if you send me money and you pray to Jesus, you'll make more money and increase your fever. Poor people in what they call developing countries or third world countries, they used to call it, they don't have anything. And they turn to religion also, not for material progress, but just for solace and out of faith and piety. There's so many people like that. Poor people who are religious and who don't expect to get out of their religion. Their hope is, they don't even have such hope, that their religion will bring them material progress, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But they have a simple faith in God and worship of God. That's better than the farce of religion for the sake of economic development, for the sake of karma. Actually, all of this material progress is for sense gratification on a very high level, like polished animals, rather than ordinary animals. The materially advanced persons are very, as Prabhupada used that word, polished.